Wednesday of the fourth week of Eastertide. The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, 24 to chapter 13, 5. The word of God continued to spread and grow. After Barnabas and Saul completed their mission, they returned to Jerusalem, taking with them John, who is called Mark. Now there were in the church of Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who was a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." Then, completing their fasting and prayer, they laid hands on them and sent them off. So they, sent forth by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and from there sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived in Salamis, they proclaim the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. This is the word of the Lord. We see, dear family, in all the Acts of the Apostles that the focus is to spread the word of God. And indeed, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the word was spread and overcame all kinds of tremendous obstacles. But those men and women were dedicated instruments filled with faith. And what we see in these readings is a gift called the gift of prophecy. He says, Barnabas and Saul are chosen by the Holy Spirit through prophecy and sent off in their mission by the Holy Spirit and the church. So the Holy Spirit works through the church to send off the apostles to preach the word. And because the church was open to this work of the Spirit, there was a power that was unstoppable. Now we need to understand what is prophecy. Prophecy is the first effect of the Holy Spirit that spreads this gift not to just a few chosen, but to all the people, to all the baptized in different degrees. Prophecy is the ability to speak God's word under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the gift of prophecy is exercised as part of the normal functioning of the church. You who are listening and who have received baptism, you have, to some degree, the gift of prophecy to be exercised according to your mission, to be a witness, to be able to share and radiate with your life and your behavior the truth of the gospel. And so this is a very important and precious gift, very honored and respected in the early church. Right after the call to be an apostle came to be a prophet and a teacher. And of course, some are called to be both. And indeed, those men and women were very much under fire in an environment that was still dominated by the Roman Empire and by paganism, but the power of God was above everything. And this is what is constantly brought to mind to us, is that this power of the Spirit that has no obstacles, and the same thing should be happening today in the church if we had this openness to the Spirit. One of the things they did to be open to the Spirit is they worshiped the Lord and fasted. We see it in chapter 13, verse 2. Fasting It's a way of humbling oneself before the Lord. And so that we can focus ourselves to listen to the Holy Spirit. So don't say, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to me, if you do not worship and fast regularly with this openness to faith. And so the leaders of Antioch, which is a growing church, remember that's the place where the Christians were first called by that name, Christian. They are fasting and they fervently seek God's will for their community and its mission. We who live in community should have the same attitude, fasting and fervently seeking God's will for their community and mission. And so they, guided by the Holy Spirit, choose Barnabas and Saul and set them apart. That means like they are consecrated for the mission. And they are sent off to go and evangelize. And they lay hands on them. We see just before laying hands on them, the directive with further fasting and prayer. And then they are sent off on the missionary journey. At its completion, they will return and report its results to the community. And that's the same thing that we're supposed to do. We send off those who go in mission, like I am going in mission now to Colombia in a few days, and the community prays for me, and then when I come back, I will report what has happened, what has the Holy Spirit done. And we need to believe that it's just not sharing good ideas, but that the power of God will penetrate all obstacles and bring people, bring brothers and sisters to a profound and new relationship with Him. Hallelujah. The gospel is John 12, verses 44 to 50. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not observe them, I do not condemn him, for I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him, the word that I spoke. It will condemn him in the last day, because I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Jesus, throughout his entire ministry, has constantly spoken about his identity and works in terms of his relationship with the Father. "He and the Father," he said, "are one." That's John 10:30. Now he expands on this truth. The Father sent him, the Son, to reveal to the world who he is. So we know the Father through the Son. "And whoever sees me," says Jesus, "sees the one who sent me." And so Jesus comes into the world, which is in darkness because of sin. He comes as light, so that everyone who believes in me, says Jesus, might not remain in darkness. So Jesus invites all people, everyone, to come to him, to enter into the light, to come therefore into union with the Father. And Jesus says, I do not condemn. Jesus did not come to condemn, but he offers to everyone the light, the truth, this relationship that needs to be freely accepted. Many people think, well, why is it that if we do not believe in Jesus, we do not have life? Well, that is like saying, why is it that if we do not drink water, we dehydrate? Well, it's the very nature of reality that if you don't drink water, you will dehydrate, because water is the substance that hydrates you, and therefore it's necessary. Likewise, in the spiritual dimension, Jesus Christ is life, and he is the light. If we do not receive him, we remain, in fact, in darkness, and we have no eternal life. And so this is the urgent invitation. People are not condemned by Jesus. Jesus does not condemn, but rather we can condemn ourselves by our own actions and our failure to receive the Word of God. Because the Word of God that Jesus gives us is not his own, he says. I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak. And it's the Father's commandment, it's eternal life. And so Jesus is the obedient Son who transmits perfectly the truth, the life, the love of the Father. And as we become one with Christ, we receive completely in faith everything that comes from the Father. We become one with the Father as Jesus and the Father are one. And then what happens is that we can go forth and evangelize, as we saw in the first reading, and we can, like Jesus, transmit the light and the truth. And that's why Jesus says that we are also the light of the world, inasmuch as we are united with him.